You now have 1 minute to read the questions. The recording will then start automatically and play once. You cannot pause, rewind, or fast forward the recording.
When I was about 4, I started sleepwalking. At night, I used to go under the stairs and scribble on the wall. At school, I hated art, and I wasn't able to scrape higher than an E in my final exams. I wasn't too bothered. I thought I wasn't going to pursue it as a career. But I was still getting up to make art in the middle of the night, even if I was staying over at a friend's house. By this point, I was no longer just making scribbles. I was sketching anything from portraits of Marilyn Monroe to abstract noughts and crosses and fairies. I showed some to my art teachers. They said, "Why can't you do this in class?" It was something I struggled to understand myself. I tried so hard to draw when I was awake, practicing and using the same tools, but no matter what I did, I was unable to replicate the drawings. Once I left school, I became a nurse and a carer in hospices, mainly helping people with brain injuries. I also met my partner. We've been together for 23 years, and he is incredibly supportive of my art and sleepwalking habits. He often films me as I work. Watching videos of me painting is very strange, as I have no recollection of it. I often wake up feeling as if I've done something in my sleep, but I can never quite remember what. I paint with both hands, but awake, I'm only right-handed. I leave my art supplies in my drawers, and when I'm asleep, I know where to go. At a friend's place, I drew on a plasterboard using chicken bones and coal left over from a barbecue we'd had in the garden. I'll use any tools I can find, sometimes knives and forks. That's the only thing that worries my partner, that I'll accidentally hurt myself. But it hasn't happened so far. I've gone to various sleep clinics to try to get to the bottom of what's happening. They've seen the videos and observed me as I slept. I've been wired up, had my heart rate monitored overnight, and have been kept awake for 36 hours for experiments, but nothing out of the ordinary was found health-wise. I have learned to embrace my unusual talent, and I set up my first art exhibition in 2007 at my local library to raise money for cancer research. Within a week, I had 160 calls from different media outlets and organisations wanting to hear about my art. I was over the moon. I then decided to leave my very fulfilling job in nursing and become a full-time artist. People sometimes assume I'll always paint a fully developed work of art in the night. In truth, my success ratio is more like 1 in 50. I've ruined stuff in my sleep before. Sometimes I'll do random squiggles or lines, only to go back 3 months later and complete them. Now I'm actually selling my work as a career. There can be pressure to produce more. Sometimes I go months without drawing or painting anything, and every now and then I'll do something I'm proud of. I've had to learn to go with the flow, which helps makes me relaxed enough to produce more work. I usually end up doing about 20 pieces a year. Kim Kardashian had 2 of my Marilyn Monroes in her Met Gala dressing room this year. Some people have tried to link my abilities with childhood trauma, which doesn't add up to me personally. Others have questioned whether I'm genuine. Neither worries me, as I don't feel I have anything to prove and I really enjoy what I do. I do feel a bit guilty that there are people who spend their whole lives studying art and then I come along and do it in my sleep.
Do not press continue until you are ready to move on to the next section of the test. You now have 1 minute to read the questions. The recording will then start automatically and play twice. You cannot pause, rewind, or fast forward the recording.
Hi, Amna. How are you doing?
Oh, hi, Sean. I'm fine. Just a bit agitated.
Oh, why is that?
Well, I collected my exam grades this morning and...
Disappointing?
Yeah.
Ah, so how did you do?
Well, I got above 85% in all subjects.
But that's super impressive. So why the long face?
Yeah, I appreciate that 85% isn't a dismal performance, but Poppy got over 90% across the board.
So why are you analysing your grades against Poppy's? Can't you just be content and satisfied with your own admirable grades? Comparing yourself with others isn't very productive.
I don't concur. I think assessing myself in correlation with Poppy is really constructive. It's an upward comparison. It inspires me to improve, motivates me to study more, and encourages me to work harder.
So Poppy is like your role model. I would usually expect a role model to be more mature, you know, older and wiser and all that.
Yeah, I would say she is. And although Poppy may be wiser, she's the same age as me. And I think this is what makes it so pertinent to compare my grades to hers. Poppy and I are very similar. Age, sex, ethnicity, upbringing. She even has the same number of siblings as me. So I believe that her achievements should be attainable by me as well.
But when you don't accomplish the exceptional grades that she does, how do you feel? Inferior? Jealous? Envious?
Well, I must admit, it can be a bit painful at first. There's an initial flash of envy that I just can't control. And yeah, annoyance and irritation that my grades are mediocre. But it's kind of a benign envy, you know? I just wish that I had accomplished more. And ultimately, it becomes a productive envy because, as I said before, it spurs me on to greater endeavours, so I hopefully do better next time.
The knee-jerk emotions are challenging to control, I guess. You're never going to think, oh, I'm so pleased that Poppy has got better grades than me again.
No, never. But at the same time, I wouldn't describe those initial feelings as malicious. I don't wish ill upon Poppy. I don't want her to fail. I just want to be able to succeed as well as she does.
You admire her?
Yeah, I do. And like you mused about her being my role model, I want to achieve as much as she does. She's a social comparison reflex that I try to implement in order to improve myself.
And do you think you feel this more keenly because she's like you? As you said earlier, same age, same sex, same ethnicity and so on. You're practically indistinguishable.
Yeah, I do. You know, there's actually been a lot of research undertaken pertaining to this. So apparently you identify more with a role model who's akin to you. That explains why I care so deeply about Poppy's grades. She has an older cousin who is a genius, yet I don't give two hoots about his grades. He's older. He's a different gender to me. So he's less relatable. You know, this research has proved that there's a really strong role model effect when the role model is more like you. They studied the ethnicity of undergraduates and their teaching assistants at an American university. Undergraduates who were randomly assigned a teaching assistant of the same ethnicity as them performed better than those who weren't.
Wow, really? I would never have guessed there would be any kind of a correlation.
I know, it's fascinating, right? There was also another study done at a military academy, again in the States. This research discovered that black cadets are more likely to select the same specialisation as their officers, but only if their officers are also black.
But I guess the majority of people are bound to identify more with someone who is of the same demographic.
Yeah, sure. But what this research has demonstrated is that the role model effect is proportional to how closely you identify with the role model, and that this has doubtlessly had life-changing consequences for some of the undergrads and cadets in the research. And this effect is highly unlikely to be isolated. It must be experienced by students, apprentices, junior employees, and so on worldwide.
And meanwhile, back here at home, you're hoping that having Poppy as a role model will bring similarly life-changing consequences for you and your grades?
I sure am. How else am I going to get into that same top-ranked university that she is?
Hi, Amna. How are you doing?
Oh, hi, Sean. I'm fine. Just a bit agitated.
Oh, why's that?
Well, I collected my exam grades this morning and...
Disappointing?
Yeah.
Ah, so how did you do?
Well, I got above 85% in all subjects.
But that's super impressive. So why the long face?
Yeah, I appreciate that 85% isn't a dismal performance, but Poppy got over 90% across the board.
So why are you analysing your grades against Poppy's? Can't you just be content and satisfied with your own admirable grades? Comparing yourself with others isn't very productive.
I don't concur. I think assessing myself in correlation with Poppy is really constructive. It's an upward comparison. It inspires me to improve, motivates me to study more, and encourages me to work harder.
So Poppy is like your role model. I would usually expect a role model to be more mature, you know, older and wiser and all that.
Yeah, I would say she is. And although Poppy may be wiser, she's the same age as me. And I think this is what makes it so pertinent to compare my grades to hers. Poppy and I are very similar. Age, sex, ethnicity, upbringing. She even has the same number of siblings as me. So I believe that her achievements should be attainable by me as well.
But when you don't accomplish the exceptional grades that she does, how do you feel? Inferior? Jealous? Envious?
Well, I must admit, it can be a bit painful at first. There's an initial flash of envy that I just can't control. And yeah, annoyance and irritation that my grades are mediocre. But it's kind of a benign envy, you know? I just wish that I had accomplished more. And ultimately, it becomes a productive envy because, as I said before, it spurs me on to greater endeavours, so I hopefully do better next time.
The knee-jerk emotions are challenging to control, I guess. You're never going to think, oh, I'm so pleased that Poppy has got better grades than me again.
No, never. But at the same time, I wouldn't describe those initial feelings as malicious. I don't wish ill upon Poppy. I don't want her to fail. I just want to be able to succeed as well as she does.
You admire her?
Yeah, I do. And like you mused about her being my role model, I want to achieve as much as she does. She's a social comparison reflex that I try to implement in order to improve myself.
And do you think you feel this more keenly because she's like you? As you said earlier, same age, same sex, same ethnicity and so on. You're practically indistinguishable.
Yeah, I do. You know, there's actually been a lot of research undertaken pertaining to this. So apparently you identify more with a role model who's akin to you. That explains why I care so deeply about Poppy's grades. She has an older cousin who is a genius, yet I don't give two hoots about his grades. He's older, he's a different gender to me, so he's less relatable. You know, this research has proved that there's a really strong role model effect when the role model is more like you. They studied the ethnicity of undergraduates and their teaching assistants at an American university. Undergraduates who were randomly assigned a teaching assistant of the same ethnicity as them performed better than those who weren't.
Wow, really? I would never have guessed there would be any kind of a correlation.
I know, it's fascinating, right? There was also another study done at a military academy, again in the States. This research discovered that black cadets are more likely to select the same specialisation as their officers, but only if their officers are also black.
But I guess the majority of people are bound to identify more with someone who is of the same demographic.
Yeah, sure. But what this research has demonstrated is that the role model effect is proportional to how closely you identify with the role model, and that this has doubtlessly had life-changing consequences for some of the undergrads and cadets in the research. And this effect is highly unlikely to be isolated. It must be experienced by students, apprentices, junior employees, and so on worldwide.
And meanwhile, back here at home, you're hoping that having Poppy as a role model will bring similarly life-changing consequences for you and your grades?
I sure am. How else am I going to get into that same top-ranked university that she is?
Do not press continue until you are ready to move on to the next section of the test. You now have 1 minute to read the questions. The recording will then start automatically and play twice. You cannot pause, rewind, or fast forward the recording.
Speaker A. My first day of the job that I'm in at the moment was horrible. First of all, the journey took me over an hour and a half to get to work because I hadn't done the practice run and so took much longer than I expected. Also, there was nobody at the job to meet me, to show me where my desk was, or to tell me anything about the students, and I pretty much had to do everything myself. My expectations were a lot higher because I'd worked in a similar job in the same country before, and there it was a lot more organised. So I still feel quite angry about it now, because I'm still trying to get to know the ropes and the systems about the job, inside and out.
Speaker B.
My very first day at work, I was about 15. My parents used to own a hair salon, so they made me go into the salon to help out on a Saturday. And I had this job for about 2 years in total, and I really hated it. I mean, I was so annoyed when my parents told me that I would have to go and help them out because I was just a teenager, and after having a whole week at school, the only thing I wanted to do at the weekend was to go ice skating and hang out with my friends. But instead, I had to go and help out in the salon. And it was such a long day. I'd be on my feet all day. I'd have to shampoo, I'd have to sweep up hair, I'd have to make coffee for the clients, and the day would just drag on and on.
Speaker C. My first job ever was when I was 13, working as a paper girl delivering newspapers on the local estate. My first day, I was also quite worried, because it was the first time I was going to have to go around on my own and remember all the houses. And also, I was a bit nervous because there were quite a lot of dogs on the estate. And it took a long time, much longer than I expected. And it sort of was the first time I'd really had responsibilities for getting up early in the morning for regularly going to a job. That's it.
Speaker A. My first day of the job that I'm in at the moment was horrible. First of all, the journey took me over an hour and a half to get to work because I hadn't done the practice run and so took much longer than I expected. Also, there was nobody at the job to meet me, to show me where my desk was, or to tell me anything about the students, and I pretty much had to do everything myself. My expectations were a lot higher because I'd worked in a similar job in the same country before, and there it was a lot more organised. So I still feel quite angry about it now, because I'm still trying to get to know the ropes and the systems about the job, inside and out.
Speaker B.
My very first day at work, I was about 15. My parents used to own a hair salon, so they made me go into the salon to help out on a Saturday. And I had this job for about 2 years in total, and I really hated it. I mean, I was so annoyed when my parents told me that I would have to go and help them out because I was just a teenager, and after having a whole week at school, the only thing I wanted to do at the weekend was to go ice skating and hang out with my friends. But instead, I had to go and help out in the salon. And it was such a long day. I'd be on my feet all day. I'd have to shampoo, I'd have to sweep up hair, I'd have to make coffee for the clients, and the day would just drag on and on.
Speaker C. My first job ever was when I was 13, working as a paper girl delivering newspapers on the local estate. My first day, I was also quite worried because it was the first time I was going to have to go around on my own and remember all the houses. And also, I was a bit nervous because there were quite a lot of dogs on the estate. And it took a long time, much longer than I expected. And it sort of was the first time I'd really had responsibilities for getting up early in the morning for regularly going to a job. That's it.
Do not press continue until you are ready to move on to the next section of the test.